Dealt with the first five verses last Sunday night entitled The Call. And Paul spent those verses assuring and testifying of the call of God on his life. And tonight we want to deal with the correction. We've dealt with the call last week, and tonight we want to deal with the correction. Galatians chapter 1, and let's look, if you would, at verse 6. And we'll begin reading, and we'll cover probably down through verse 12 tonight. I think that would be a good place to stop. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel, Paul says, that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. I have a feeling that was important to Paul, don't you? He repeated himself in two verses. Look at verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Let me read that again. For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The correction. Father, pray that you'd help us as we deal with your word tonight. Lord, help make this interesting to people. We believe that God's word should be interesting no matter what. But Lord, I know folks are tired. They've had long weeks. It's been a long day. Many of our folks have worked on bus routes and taught Sunday school classes and rode buses home and barely got a nap if they got one at all. And Lord, I know that they're tired. They got a busy week ahead. But Lord, allow them for a few moments here this evening to concentrate on your word in a book of Galatians, what this has to say to us. And Lord, I pray that we would apply it to our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. I want to start immediately at verse 6. This is what Paul says. I marvel that ye are so soon removed. Now, there's immediately, I want to kind of give you some points. If you have a piece of paper and a pen, it might be good to write these down. And let me just say this. One of the good reasons for going through series and, you know, doing expository preaching of the Word of God, many of you sometimes at work, you have Bible studies, you have different things. Write these things down. Write the outlines down. It gives you topics to understand, ways to try to get the gospel message across to people without it looking like you're trying to condemn them, and a way to understand the Word of God. First thing I notice is this, that he gives three things in this verse that he had a problem with what these churches had done. This is where he begins his correction. Number one, they had a lack of commitment. He said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you. Paul is saying this, I cannot believe how quickly you turned away from what you've been taught. I cannot believe how short a period of time that you stuck with it. I can't believe after all that we preach to you and all that we minister to you, it's hard for me to believe that you so quickly and so soon would be removed from what you were taught is the truth. And yet, can I say anything that unfortunately describes many of our churches today, especially our younger generation? They grow up in church, they're taught the truth, and it amazes me sometimes how quickly some people are removed from the truth they've been taught. It's amazing. Can I say this at Kerwin Baptist Church? Remember, the title of our series is Stand Fast. And this is kind of our first opportunity as pastor to try to kind of give our desire for this church is that, you know what, we've got to stand fast in the doctrine of the Word of God. It's important and we need to understand it. But can I say this? I think over the years what's happened is we have taught it to our kids, but we haven't lived it. And when you teach it and you don't live it, then kids can't wait to get away from it. because they don't see anything real about it. If you're the one teaching it and you don't even live it, if it's not even that real to you, then I don't want it to be real to me. It obviously doesn't mean much, and so let me find something else that'll make me happy. And Paul looks to this church and he says, after all that was done and all that was taught, and Kerwin Baptist Church, can I say, for 50 years you've had a pastor that studied. And can I say, I've been here for 2 years and preached every week, but on average I preached once a week. And these last couple weeks now, I'm preaching 3 times a week. When I was in evangelism, I would preach sometimes 20 times a week. I had one church in Florida. It's the most I ever preached in a week time from Sunday through Friday. I preached 34 times. Yeah, tell me about it. I think they gave me $1 for every sermon too, but they lend the love offering. And can I say this, that when you're a pastor and you preach 3 times a week, and that it has to be fresh, and it has to be something new from God, and it has to be something that you spend time and pray over. Let me tell you something, a great part of your week is studying and going over things and saying, Lord, what do you want, and laying scripture out. And can I say this, for 50 years we've had a pastor that has given time and given prayer during the day and studied and prepared and made outlines and got up and expended the energy, even when he was sick, even when he was tired, to preach the truth to us, and how dare we so soon remove ourselves from it? And Paul says, I can't believe how quickly the lack of commitment. And can I say this? It amazes me sometimes to watch, and I'm not picking on young people tonight, but it amazes me how quickly and how little it takes to get them away from church. And then all of a sudden I stop and look and I realize we have so many adults, I can't believe how quickly and how so soon they remove themselves from church. How what little it takes to get them just to quit being faithful. And, well, so-and-so said this to me and I'm not going back. Wow, what a commitment to Christ. Now listen, I've had almost 2 weeks of nobody mad, so I might as well get it done now. He said, well, I've been mad, preacher. You just don't know it. I know. Can I say this? How it is amazing, and it ought to amaze us, how so little it takes to get people mad. How so little it takes to get people to turn their back on the truth of God's Word. How they can be taught and raised in it and be taught it and shown the truth. And one friend at work can change everything. One coworker that puts a little doubt in their mind can change everything. Paul says, I can't believe, after all you've been given, how you so soon have been removed. And can I say one thing about Kerwin Baptist Church? I want to challenge you. I know we're going through transition and new pastor and a lot of new things. And I let me tell you something. I could just imagine the past couple weeks how it's been very difficult for many of you. You've had one pastor your entire life, and now you got some young guy looking at you and getting red in the face and screaming sometimes, and you think, who in the world does he think he is, and what in the world, he's our pastor. And I know it's difficult, but can I challenge you from a young man's perspective, and as your pastor now, listen, if we are going to stand fast, then we have to stand fast. And we can't be so easily removed from church and so easily removed from the choir and so easily removed from a Sunday school class and so easily removed from visitation and so easily removed from Wednesday night and so easily removed from Sunday school and so easily removed. Let me tell you something. We've got to stand fast. We've got to be faithful. We've got to have a commitment. And it's not to Daniel Hawtrey and it's not to Joe Myers and it's not to any person in this building, because if your commitment's to them, you're not going to want to come. Our commitment has to be to Christ. Second thing I noticed, this is they had a lack of conviction. He said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed, notice this, from him that called you into the grace of Christ. Not only did they back away from what they've been taught, listen to me, but they backed away from the very Savior that saved them. Can I say, dear friend, when we get out of shape with church and we get mad at this and that and we just, you know, boo-hoo our way and we don't read our Bible, we don't pray, and we're not going to church, can I tell you something? You're just not moving yourself from church and you're just not removing yourself from people. You are removing yourself from a close relationship with God. And Paul says this, surely you should have more conviction that, you know, even if you are upset, even if there are things that are confusing, surely you wouldn't turn your back on Jesus after what you've been taught. I can't believe how quickly that you removed. And not only that you removed from him that called you. Oh, dear friends, listen, we've got to have conviction. We've got to say, this is what the Bible teaches. And we're going to stick to it. And we're going to have conviction in our life. And mom and dads, can I tell you this? And just as a man that hasn't raised teenagers yet, and a man that might eat my words. It's the only thing I hate about recording, and we got CDs for every sermon. The bad thing is it can come right back up at you. But I'm going to say it now before. Can I say this? Listen, our kids can tell when we have conviction and when we don't. They can tell. And Paul said this, not only have you been so quick to go against what you've been taught, but you're going against the very one that saved you. You got a lack of commitment, and now you have a lack of conviction. You don't even feel bad about it. And notice what he says here. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So I find here, third, they were lost in confusion. There was lack of commitment, lack of conviction, and third, they were lost in confusion. He said this, you have been removed to another gospel. Now they're confused. You see, they weren't confused when they simply had faith in God's word. When they were taught the truth and believed the truth, there was no confusion. But when you let somebody come in and pervert the gospel, that brings confusion. Why do you think the Bible says God is not the author of confusion? Let me tell you why. Because when you follow the things of God and follow his word, it's not confusing at all. It's very plain to understand. But when men get in the picture, and when our wisdom gets in the picture, and our take on the Bible gets in the picture, and we start telling everybody what we think and what we get out of it instead of teaching God's word, then confusion comes. I tell you, you can go within 10 miles of this church and find everything imaginable about the Bible. And here's what happens. We go out, knock on a door. And man, you find an individual, when they open up a door, they have heard 1,000 different things. And then now we're standing in front of them saying, we have the truth, which is exactly what everybody that's come to their door said. And so how do you know what to believe? Very simple. You don't listen to a man. You get in God's word. And Paul said this, you have been led to another gospel. But notice how he immediately, and by the way, let me just say this. I've preached on this verse before, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul gives this warning, and he says this, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The very person that's writing to the churches of Galatia is the very person that said, let me tell you what I have a fear of. Satan would love to get in and rob you of the simplicity of Christ. Look at verse 7. Which is not another. Now, what is he talking about? Look at the end of verse 6. He said that, I can't believe you've been so soon to be removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. In other words, these individuals have said there's another gospel, but then in verse 7 he says, which is not another. So he says they have led you into what they would call another gospel. He says, but I'm here to tell you there is no other gospel. There's only one. So that shows me this. Number one, he deals with false teaching. False teaching. And this is what he says. There is not another gospel. And listen, Kerwin Baptist Church, you have been trained well, so I don't have any question about that. But can I tell you something? We have certain doctrines that we will always believe here. We believe that Jesus was virgin born. The blood and the seed of a human man never touched our Savior. He was virgin born. And we believe that his blood was pure and holy, and it has the power to forgive sins. Now, you'll have preachers say, oh, he died on the cross and you can get saved, but his blood was just like anybody else's blood. That's heresy. according to the Bible. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm not going to go through our whole list of doctrines and things. That's for another day. But can I say this? There is not another gospel. There is not another way. And it's not mean when people talk to you about it. And it's not, and many times we're bashful when we say, well, yeah, I understand what you're saying. And yes, there is. No, there's not. Be honest and let them know. Say, listen, I'm not here to offend you, but I just want you to know, according to the Bible, there's no other way to salvation except through Jesus Christ. Amen. There is no other gospel. There's no other way. Not only does he talk about false teaching, but second, here in verse 7, he talks about false teachers. Look what he says. He says, which is not another, which means there's not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you. You know what that word trouble means here in the Greek? It means this, to stir or agitate. Yeah. And he says, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So he said, there is false teaching that there is another gospel, and there's false teachers. There are some individuals that will trouble you. They will stir you. They'll agitate you. They'll put confusion in your mind, and they're smooth talkers. In the Bible, we read it just a week or two ago that, hey, in the last days, we're going to want teachers with itching ears and smooth talk, and that's what people are going to want. The problem is that they're false teachers. And he says this, that you got to be careful because they're going to trouble you, and they're going to say just the right things that's going to test your faith. That's why we have to stand fast. That's why Paul says, I can't believe you so quickly went away from what you've been taught, even though you heard all the truth. By the way, it is so much easier to believe a lie, isn't it? And isn't it easier to believe a lie? The truth usually isn't juicy. Our nature just has a tendency to kind of believe deception. You know why? Because we're flesh. The Bible says it. We're weak. We're flesh. And he says this, they will trouble you. I've never seen the likes of it. Look up here at me, Kerwin Baptist Church. I have a policy. And my policy is that we don't criticize other churches. You know, they are not our enemies. Y'all agree with me on that? We don't criticize. We're not here to let to even hint that everybody that doesn't do things the way we do it, they're wrong and we're right. Can I tell you something? There's other places that are doing a lot more for God than we're doing, and we're trying to get there and do more for God. We're all on the same team. We love them. We respect them, and we're happy for them, and we're kind to them. And let me tell you something. We will never do that. But listen to me. I want you to be careful, because I want you to know that there are going to be some things that will come up, and they will stir you and agitate you, because you'll be confused. Because you're going to look and you're going to think, yeah, but so-and-so or whatever, boy, they're just rolling in the people. And they don't have these standards and they don't have these convictions, but look at all the people. That's great. We ought to want to reach people. But listen to me, dear friend, we can't let what people would pervert the gospel just to get crowds. We can't adhere to that. Does that make sense? We don't criticize them unless I feel that an individual is a danger to this church, and I've got to be truthful and warn you that then that's my job as a pastor. But can I tell you something? Let people do what they want to do, and I hope they see a lot of people saved. And I'm going to tell you something. We've been blessed in this area because we have some really, really good churches in this area. And some people resent that. I don't. I'm thrilled. Do you know that just down the road, man, we got an independent Baptist church, conservative, gospelite Baptist church. They've got standards and convictions, and they are bringing in hundreds of boys and girls on their buses. They have hundreds of people saved every year. They've got a wonderful ministry, a pastor that's been faithful and kept his life clean. I am thrilled that they're there. And you ought to be thrilled that they're there. Man, we got a church down the road in Winston, Woodland Baptist Church on the way to King. We got Union Grove over there. We got tons of churches that are just good independent Baptist churches. And by the way, we got a lot of smaller churches that have really good men that are on fire for God. They are not our enemies, and they never will be our enemies. But Paul here says, hey, listen, there's going to be some that'll trouble you. They'll stir you up, agitate you. They'll make you question what you've been taught. And folks, we can't let that happen. Stand fast. I want you to notice, beginning of verse 8, we're almost done tonight. Look at verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you other than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Second round, look at verse 9. As we said before, yeah, just now, is what he says. So say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. You know what that word accursed means? Are you ready for this? It means we have nothing to do with them. We don't fellowship. We have nothing to do with them. Right. Now, that's the Bible. That's the Bible. And this is what he says. I believe that in verses 8 through 12, he gives three things of advice, and I'm going to leave you with this tonight. Number one, he's talking about discernment. That's the big theme through Galatians, discernment. He says this, if anybody teaches anything other than the truth, don't have anything to do with them. That means that you and I as Christians have to be able to discern what is truthful and what is not. It's that simple. And I thank God for everybody trying to teach the truth. Discernment. Let me read you a verse. You say, well, how do we get that kind of discernment? I'm glad you asked. Let me read this to you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, and you know it. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. Notice this. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Listen to me. We always teach this verse that God's word is quick, powerful, sharp than any. It gets right into your heart. It cuts right through your intentions. It cuts right through your motives. You cannot hide from the word of God. And if you agree with that, say amen. Amen. But let me tell you what we don't preach about this verse is this. God's word allows you to be a discerner of the intent of the heart of others. You see, God's word will discern your heart. Hiding God's word in your heart will help you discern others. You see, when you get God's word in your heart, it's a discerner. It is able to discern what's right and what's wrong. You know why a lot of times we can't discern and we're not good discerners of what's of God and what's not, and what is God's will and what's not God's will? Let me tell you why. Because we don't have God's word in our heart. We've got to get in God's word so God's word can get in us. And when you have God's word in your heart, then you can begin to discern what's of God and what's not. Then we're not so easily fooled. Listen to me. This is what happened in Galatia. This is what happened in these churches. Paul went, ministered, preached, and taught. They listened. They were taught the truth. But guess what happened when Paul left? They didn't stay in the book. They didn't stay faithful to reading and studying God's word. While Paul was there, Paul read it, taught it, dished it out. They took it in. Wonderful. But when Paul left, guess what happened? That was it. And then the next person, the so-called prophet that came along their way, because they had not been in God's word, they had no discernment in their heart. And when somebody told them something, they really just swallowed it because they didn't know that it wasn't of God. They just assumed it was because God's word wasn't in them. They didn't have discernment for others. And that's exactly why they went the route they went. And Paul writes back to them and he says, listen, anybody teaches anything other than the word of God, don't have anything to do with them. Well, how do you know if it's of God's word or not when somebody teaches? You got to get in the Bible. It's that simple. In Kerwin Baptist Church, let me tell you something. We have a generation of people here that have been taught, and you can discern. But what worries me and what burdens me is our younger generation, our teenagers, our younger couples, because if they're not reading God's word during the week and they're not studying it, let me tell you why it scares me. My generation is so busy. Man, we're taking kids to ball games here and there. We got something every night of the week. We're so busy working two or three jobs because we want to have all the things. And we do all this. We don't have any time to sit and read the Bible as a family. We don't have any time to sit and read the Bible as an individual. And when God's word doesn't get in our hearts, we have no discernment. And we'll go walk, see somebody in Walmart, and they'll go say, well, let me tell you something. You're wasting your time in that church because they have all these standards and convictions, and they're hard, and they preach against sin. You ought to go over here. And what do? Okay. Woo. Because we don't have God's word in our heart. We're not discerners. Second thing He deals with dedication. Notice, if you would, verse 10. He looks at this church and he says, "For do I now persuade men or God?" He said, am I supposed to go out and teach men what God says? Or am I supposed to go to God and say, hey, this is what man says? Hey, God, you're supposed to change, not men. Do you get what Paul's saying? He said, am I persuading men or am I persuading God? Remember the verse we read, that knowing the terror of the Lord last Sunday night, we persuade men. You see, we are to persuade men to God's way of thinking. We are not to persuade God to man's thinking. Paul says, hey, am I supposed to persuade God or persuade men? Look what he says here. Or do I seek to please men? He says, so am I supposed to tell God what man thinks? And then am I supposed to live in a way to please men? And this is what he says. He said, if I was an individual that pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You see, it all comes down to you and I have to decide who we're going to be dedicated to. God or people. We've got to determine that. There's three things I notice we always need from people. We always need applause, we always need approval, and we always need appreciation. We need somebody over there, hey, good job, buddy. We always need that approval. Hey, I like what you're doing. We always need appreciation. Hey, I appreciate what you're doing. Can I tell you something? Oftentimes when we serve God, we're not going to get that from people. It's not going to happen. But you and I have got to determine, am I going to do what I do for people or am I going to do what I do for God? And am I going to need God's approval or am I going to need man's approval? Amen. We've got to decide that. We've got to determine who we're going to be dedicated to. Right. And Paul realized that the reason these people had swayed is because they were more intent on pleasing men than they were on pleasing God. Right. And God help us here at Kerwin Baptist Church to try our best to love people. And can I tell you something? And being spiritual doesn't mean you'll get everybody mad at you either. Okay? And we have a generation that you're either one way or you're the other. And when you have standards and convictions, bless God, you hate everybody, you're mad at everybody, get everybody mad at you. That doesn't do anything for the Lord either, folks. What I'm saying is this. I'm saying that we've got to determine what's going to be our motivation. Are we going to want God's approval or man's? Mom and Dad, you're going to have to determine whether you want God's approval or your child's approval. And it's hard. Because there's going to come a time. I'll never forget, they're not here, and my time is done, and I'll hurry up, but I'll never forget when I was a senior in high school. I was 11th grade in high school, a junior in high school. And some friends from the Christian school where I went to were going to the fair. And Dad would never let me just go on my own to these kind of things. You know, I had strict parents. I joke with people, I was never allowed to wear jeans till I think I was 15. I mean, I had strict parents. I played basketball in high school. We won the state championship. And when I played basketball, my mom and dad wouldn't let me wear shorts. You're like, oh, I'm telling you. I was the only odd-looking one with sweatpants on while I'm playing ball. You say, was that embarrassing? You better believe it was embarrassing. People thought I had a bladder problem or something. Why's he got to wear pants? I mean, it was convenient, but you know what I'm saying. You say, did you buck against that? Yeah, buddy. If I didn't love basketball so much, I wouldn't have played. Well, guess what happened? Our team appreciated it, and they all started wearing sweatpants. And guess what happened to our league of Central Florida? The whole league started wearing sweatpants. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to wear shorts. I'm just saying, I'm telling you, they were strict. And I'll never forget, I was a junior high school, and Dad was going to drive me to the fair and determine whether he was going to let me get out of the car or not. So here I'm a junior in high school, and the only one having Dad drive me to the fair. And girl I kind of liked was kind of dating. She was in the group, you know, and we pulled up and they're waiting at the gate to walk in. And my dad pulled up and he saw how half of them were dressed. And he said, Daniel, I know you want to go, but you're not going tonight. He said, you can be mad at me if you want to. And he said, I love you. He says, but I have a reputation to uphold as pastor of this church. And he said, I'm sorry, I cannot let you go. I know what's going to go on tonight with those kids. I had to get out of that car, go to that group and say, my dad won't let me stay. And I turned around, got in the car, drove home, mad as a hornet. Now, I wish I had time. There were 7 people in that group. Not one of those 7 have not been divorced. 6, I think 5 of them have been divorced 3 times. Not, and we all understand how those things happen. But I could go down, while 2 of them are in jail, good Christian kids. And I'm sitting here saying that God gave my dad some wisdom. And that night in the car, he had a son that was mad because I was ignorant, unlearned, and excuse the word, we're not supposed to use it. I was stupid. And I was mad at dad, but guess what? He wanted God's approval, not mine. And if getting God's approval meant his son or his kid was mad, so be it. And guess who, thank God, is pastoring tonight? The one that had a mom and dad that stood firm. And I'm here to say, we don't have to agree with everything. You say, well, would you make your kids wear sweatpants? No, I'm going to be honest with you, I probably wouldn't. But I'm going to tell you something. My dad and mom, when they had convictions, they had those convictions and they stayed with those convictions and God honored those convictions. And I'm going to here to tell you that, listen to me, we've got to determine whether we want people to approve of us or if we want God. And if we want to go out, teenagers, you go ahead out and you have your friends approve and you have everybody think you're cool and you see where that makes you end up one day in life. Or you can sit back and say, I don't care if all my friends and all the people around me think I'm an idiot, think I'm an oddball, think I'm a holy roller. I want God's approval. I'm going to live right, keep myself right, cut my hair, dress right, be a, I don't even know what I want to say. See, it's not fair. Now, if I was a different religion, I could start speaking in tongues and it would act like it was, y'all would think, oh, bless his heart, he's holy, you know. I don't know what I want to say. I know one thing, I'm tired of everybody telling the church what to do. And I'm going to say, no wonder we have what we have. No wonder we have people leaving, because we're telling God, God, this is what man wants, you come to man. And what we ought to be doing is telling man, this is what God wants, you come to God. The last thing is a little bit different. Look at verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He talks about discernment. He talks about dedication. And third, I believe he talks about digging. You say, what do you mean digging? I mean this. For too long, the church has been doing this. Reading a verse. Reading a verse or two. All right, Lord, bless me today. Thank you. Amen. And what we ought to have, if we're going to have a spiritually strong, discerning church, then our members and our pastor, and I'm talking about me. I know that pastor. I'm talking about me. We have got to get in God's word and dig. We got to quit getting on the radio and listen to what every preacher has to say about it. We need to get in the Bible and dig ourselves. Paul said, hey, I wasn't taught it by any man. I didn't get it from any man. The doctrine I preach came from Christ. It was by revelation of the Holy Spirit. And we talked about that. The Holy Spirit will guide you when you get in his word. You say, why are you angry tonight? I'm not. I just, as you look back, and I've been around this thing long enough, you see a trend and people are missing out on the blessings of God because we're so afraid to say anything. Because, you know, so-and-so might not, it doesn't matter what I or anybody agrees, it's what God says. And Paul said, I can't believe that you so quickly removed yourself from the truth. May that never happen to Kerwin Baptist Church. May there never be an individual that has to drive by this church and says, boy, I can't believe what happened to that church. Now, does everybody in this church feel the exact same way about everything? Are you kidding? No, we don't. And I, as a pastor, love you enough. You've got the right to have your opinion. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit deals with us, and we need to let him do that. We don't need to start trying to change people. We need to start trying to get close to the Holy Spirit ourselves and let Him change us. That's what we all need, is for Him to change us. And I'm sitting here saying, I know that we don't all agree, we don't all think the same thing, but can I tell you this? We all, I believe, have the same motive at this church. Let's teach God's Word. Let's love people. Let's reach them. But let's be honest with them. Thus saith the Lord. And let's honor His Word. Because as Jack Hudson always said, make much of Jesus, and He'll make much of you.